Welcome to my monthly podcast series titled Becoming a Sage. My name is Jan Fried, but you can call me Dr. Jan. I blog about leading, living, saging, or conscious aging. I am passionate about helping people get from where they are to where they want to be, particularly in the second half of life. I also say I'm out to retire the word retirement. We are not retiring, but moving on to something else. And I believe it takes time and intentional thought to successfully move on to what's next in life. Today, I'm interviewing Richard Eisenberg. Richard is the managing editor of nextavenue.org, the PBS website for people 50 plus. He's also the editor of Next Avenue's Money and Work and Purpose channels and a regular blogger for the site. Previously, he was executive editor of Money Magazine, front page finance editor at yahoo.com, and special projects director, money editor at Good Housekeeping, which that's a Meredith publication. And we're in Des Moines, so we're very familiar with Meredith. He is the author of two books, How to Avoid a Midlife Financial Crisis and The Money Book of Personal Finance. He's a graduate of Northwestern University's Medill School of Journalism and lives in New Jersey. I met Richard through following Next Avenue, and I became an annual donor because it's a valuable resource worth supporting. If you don't read Next Avenue, you are missing out on great content by wonderful writers and smart people who are on top of this topic of moving on in the next stage of life. For more information about Richard, please refer to the bio attached to this podcast. Well, welcome to the series, Richard.
Thank you, Dr. Jan. How are you?
Good. Very good. And as I said, I mean, ever since I discovered Next Avenue, I try to weave it into my monthly podcast because honestly, I just think it's such a valuable resource. So, well, tell us more about what is Next Avenue and who is it for?
Sure. Next Avenue is a website from public broadcasting. We started in 2012. It actually came out of the station TPT Television in St. Paul, Minnesota. It was the idea of the gentleman who was the CEO of the station, and I can tell you more about that in a minute. But the idea of Next Avenue is basically to try to help people in their 50s and 60s navigate their lives. And so we're publishing new articles every day in the channels of Money, Work, and Purpose. Those are my two, as you mentioned. We have a health channel, a caregiving channel, a living channel, and a technology channel. And most of the articles are about and for people in their 50s and 60s, but I would say some of them are also about their parents and some of them are about their millennial kids. So we're trying to help them with all the issues that they're dealing with in their lives and, you know, for good and for ill.
Right, definitely. Well, it's as I said, I find almost every article very relevant, and so that's important. Definitely value added. What do you think positive aging means, and how can people do it?
I think positive aging is about your attitude towards growing older. You know, we're all, obviously, if we're lucky enough, able to live out long lives, hopefully healthy lives. But so much of that is about the way we think about aging, and it means our attitude. Sorry.
That's okay.
There's a truck there, but he'll be gone.
Well, I think he's just agreeing that this is a very important topic and something he wants to chime in on. Yes.
So let me pick up on a sec in a second. George, if he keeps up, I'll move him to another room.
Okay.
But hopefully he won't. Hold on. So I feel for positive aging, you know, it's about what do we think about how we're getting older and what are we doing about that? Are we optimistic? Are we staying active both physically and mentally? Are we engaged? Do we have friends and family? That sort of thing. I feel those are all part of positive aging. And the studies have shown that the more we are engaged and active and stay healthy and some type could be working for pay, it could be volunteering, but the more we do it and the more we have a positive outlook, the happier we are and the healthier we are.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Definitely agree with that. What are employers doing or not doing to help older workers and older job seekers? You know, we hear about this war for talent, we hear about a tight job market, but then we hear about ageism and it's hard to get jobs. I mean, there are a lot of, I think, contradictions going on here.
There are. You know, I feel that employers think of older workers, people in their 50s and 60s, as in some ways a burden. I mean, they're happy to have them there because they get the work done, but they view them as expensive, both in terms of pay and benefits. These are often the people who are first to be laid off when the company is looking to lay off people because they feel that they're the most expensive people. They often don't offer the kind of training programs to older workers that they often do for younger workers. And as we know, there's quite a bit of age discrimination among employers, both in terms of the way they treat older workers in general and also the way they treat older applicants in general. Although I think there's some anecdotal evidence and some data that suggests that that's changing a little bit right now in terms of older job applicants getting hired. I don't think it's because employers have changed their views. I think they are just looking somewhat almost desperately for people to get the jobs done. And because there aren't that many people who are available for work, they are now going to the older worker job applicant pool and hiring them in ways that they might not have done in the past. And I'm curious to see what happens when the job market changes, the unemployment rate goes up. I worry that we're going to go back to where we were before. And as far as what they're doing for the older workers, they're offering 401k plans by and large, although that tends to be medium and large businesses, not so much small businesses. But what they're not doing really is helping them prepare for retirement other than investing, offering an investment choice. They're not talking to them about the next stage of their lives, about volunteering, about doing good in the world, about, working part-time in retirement. A small percentage of employers have phased retirement programs, but it's very unusual. And by and large, that's done on an ad hoc basis. And as I've written on Next Avenue, there's a real brain drain. What's happening is older workers are starting to retire, and they are the people who replace them, the younger workers typically, have not been trained in what the older workers know. And so those people, as they walk out the door, are leaving a big vacuum at many employers.
Yep, lost knowledge, for sure.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, it's kind of interesting, Richard, because maybe I'll write an article about this. But I have a program, or I have a program, an approach, series of workshops called Beyond the Money, mm-hmm. and the focus is on everything but money. So mm-hmm. it's on the spiritual, the emotional, the physical, all of the aspects of our life that are beyond the financial aspect. And so I might write an article about this for Next Avenue.
Oh, well, that would be great. We would love to have it.
Yeah.
There was a very interesting and somewhat sad book that I read recently by a professor in Canada. I think it's called Retirement and It's Discontents. And the author studied people who were retired but were not happy about how things were going. And in some cases, they were forced into retirement, but in many cases, they weren't. It's just that nobody had ever talked to them or helped them sort of plan for what was going to be like for them in retirement. How would they spend their days? What would they do? It wasn't so much about the money. It was about, as you say, everything but the money.
Right.
And she interviewed former doctors, former professors, former homemakers, they all were saying the same thing, which is, I just didn't know what it was going to be like, and I wish I had, and now I'm trying to figure it out and make the best of it. But many of them are really not happy about things.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to buy that book. I'm going to look for it.
It's
as
good.
As soon as we get done here. Well, that's great. Well, given your background in the financial area, what can people do with their personal finances to help them age well? Again, there is kind of some people really are set, they have the money, and it's everything else. But some people could still use some advice with their personal finances.
That's true. I think there are a lot of people who could be saving more and saving more in a disciplined, regular way, whether that's through a 401k if they have one, or if they don't have one, on their own through an IRA. So I would really encourage people who are not yet retired to find a way to put money aside for retirement on a regular basis. And if it's possible to do it in an automatic way where you don't have to think about it, but it's done for you, mm-hmm. either through a 401k or a retirement plan or a mutual fund, try to do that. The other things you could be doing is looking for ways to reduce your spending as you're getting close to retirement and in retirement. Think about where you might be living in retirement, and maybe there might be a way you could downsize your housing. It could be the the size of your home, it could be the location where you live, and really take a close look at debt. I really am a strong believer in people having as little debt in retirement as possible, because when you don't have work income coming in and you are living on Social Security and maybe a pension and maybe retirement income and some savings, you really need to make every dollar count. And so you don't want to have money going out the door to pay interest if you can avoid it. So I would really encourage people, if they can, to try to pay off their mortgage or pay down their mortgage, get rid of credit card debt as much as possible, because that can really be an albatross.
Yeah, no, that's excellent advice. I mentioned that I have a series of workshops called Beyond the Money, and to help people figure out everything else beyond the money. And I connected to employee engagement, because when people have a vision for what's next, they're often willing to work harder to get there. And what are your thoughts on this? The organizations that hire me absolutely love it. It's a little bit of a tough sell in terms of, why do we want to invest in these people if they're going to be leaving? But the organizations that do, hire me back. So what are your thoughts on this? Because you're so immersed in this whole area.
Well, I'm so happy to hear that you're finding some employers who are interested in doing it. And I wish more of them would be. And I think, the answer to the question, why should they? Well, there are a few answers. One is, some of these people may be retiring, but they may want to continue working for the employer part-time in retirement. And so, you may not be losing them entirely. And so they may be people you'd like to keep with you. So that's one thing. Another thing I feel is that if it's well known that you are an employer that really cares about your employees, not only when they're working for you, but even after they leave, I think that's a advantage you have to attract new employees to your place of work, because you'll say, we are a culture that really cares about people. And if you come working for us, we will care about you while you're here and even when you're not.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that is a great argument, particularly with privately owned companies. They do seem to, they're not driven so much, where they're not driven by, stock market and care about you while you're here and while you're gone.
Yeah, and increasingly people in their 50s and 60s, are looking forward to doing something to keep them engaged when they leave work full time. And that could be volunteering. It could be an encore career. It could be switching fields. It could be starting your own business. So, these are not people who, by and large, want to sit back and do nothing. Now, there are going to be some people who have health issues that will prevent them from doing work or volunteering, and that's certainly understandable. But there are a lot of people these days, as we're living longer and we're living healthier, who want to continue to be doing things into their 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s.
No, that's absolutely true. Yeah. Well, I always like to ask my interviewees, what else should I have asked you that our listeners need to know? What other words of wisdom on this topic do you want to share? And I think with you and your connection with Next Avenue, you can take this anywhere you want, as long as you want, because you are such a wealth of knowledge, Richard. So, yeah.
Well, thank you. Let me just talk a little bit more about some of the other channels at Next Avenue that we do for your listeners who may not be familiar with them. We have a health channel and a caregiving channel, and we're writing a lot about both the latest research and studies and news and advice for people's health in their 50s and 60s. We're writing a lot about dementia and Alzheimer's, because that's becoming an increasingly important issue for our readers and for their parents, and a lot about caregiving and how to do it long distance or nearby and how to pay for it. So I think people will find good information on those subjects. Now, in the Living Channel, that's everything from travel to entertainment, books, movies, TV shows. We have a lot of personal essays by people talking about things that they've done or lived through or their family issues. And some of them are funny, some of them are sad, but I find, and some of them are also inspiring. I find them all interesting to read. And then technology is another channel we have. We want people in their 50s and 60s to be familiar with the latest technology and learn how to use it well, whether it's something like an Alexa or smartphones, or just buying a new computer or tablets, social media. We want people to know about that. And I mentioned before starting a business. A lot of our readers and a lot of people in the 50s and 60s are interested in thinking about starting a business, probably for the first time in their lives, in retirement, part-time, as a way to supplement their income and also as a way to stay engaged. But often they don't really know how to go about doing that and what it takes to do it. And so we try to provide a lot of useful articles on starting a business and mistakes to avoid and how people have done it right.
And when you say channel, where do we find this? Is this within right. Next Avenue?
Yes. Yeah. This is all on the Next Avenue website. It's nextavenue.org. And even though we're from public broadcasting, we are not a television show. Maybe one day we will be. But for now, we are a website and also a podcast. I've done a podcast called Your Next Avenue, which was all about working after 50, where I've interviewed experts about starting a business, about finding a job, about unemployment, about volunteering and encore careers. So some people enjoy getting their information by listening. So we have some podcast information for them.
Excellent. Well, great, Richard. Well, our time's kind of come to a close here, but last words of wisdom or advice
I would tell people to look forward to the future. There will be stumbles and bumps in the road, whether they're your own or your parents. And I don't mean to minimize that, but I do think people in their 50s and 60s still have a lot to look forward to, things that they can be learning, things that they can be doing, challenges for themselves that they had never done before. And I think that will brighten their lives and make them look forward to the future.
I could not agree more. Well, you've given us so much to think about. Thank you. And the emphasis in this series is on learning and how to make the rest of life the best of life. So with that, Richard, may the rest be the best for you. And I will be in touch because I think I want to write a few more articles.
That would be great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Richard.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.